Hey, Lucinda.
Hey, how's it going, Robert?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We had an amazing weekend again.
What'd you get into?
Oh, it started on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Started with opening night of Evening of Horror with the Philadelphia Ballet. And wow. I mean, they have knocked it out of the park again. And, I mean, back-to-back weekends, they have been able to just like transform. They went from Sunday night shows. I don't even know if they had off Monday or not, and right into rehearsal for the following.
Okay. I don't remember about all of the principal dancers, but I know that Sydney Dolan went from dancing Carmen, the lead role,
mm-hmm.
to the lead role of the accused in Fall River Legend.
Yes.
And as Russell Ducker put it in an Instagram comment, he said, that girl's got range.
Oh, yes.
Having range is so hot right now.
Yes, it is. So good. So good. The new piece at the end was absolutely incredible.
Valley of Death.
Valley of Death. It was the world premiere by Juliano Nunez.
I think it's Juliano Nunez.
You know what? You say that, but then I was corrected at the ballet. I don't know.
Well, we try.
Either one. Absolutely amazing. The night that we were there, Jackie Callahan was our main with...
She played Beth?
Yes. With Zay Chen. So good. What an amazing pairing.
Mm-hmm.
It was, the whole place at the end of the night stood up. I mean, it was a standing ovation performance. Mm-hmm. So great. By the entire cast, too.
Yeah. Can we talk about the costumes being just fantastic? And I loved the core costume for the opening more than the lead, which doesn't really happen with me.
Yeah, no, I like it.
The woman who played Agatha for the Saturday night, her name is Yuka Iseda. She's been there for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I feel like I usually see her in the bright, beautiful, sunshiny roles.
Yes.
And she was straight up deranged as the antagonist.
Oh, so good.
So good. Again, range. So hot right now.
Yes.
Okay, let me go back real quick. Do we want to unpack the generational trauma a little bit for Fall River Legend, also known as the Lizzie Borden Ballet?
Oh,
yes. At first, when the townsperson went into the murder house mm-hmm. and grabbed the axe and the bloody lace shawl from inside, I thought they were going to help her cover up the bodies.
Help a girl out.
Bury those bitches.
Right.
Also, did the audience maybe not clap for the dancer who played the stepmother when she came out for curtain call?
Ours got booed.
Yeah, there were a few boos, and there was definitely a moment of hesitation.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit bad because she is actually a dancer, I think, in the core.
I think they love it. Yeah. I think they take it as, I did a really good job, to then bring additional emotion out of the audience.
Yeah, there was definitely just a little bit of resistance
there.
Oh,
yeah.
In the news, are we going to talk about the Louvre heist?
We have to.
It's giving Ocean's 8.
Oh, you know Hollywood right now is already rewriting a script.
I think the script has already been written. Like, literally, it came out in 2018 and Sandra Bullock was the lead.
Ugh.
For those who don't know or who have not read the details, two high-security display cases were targeted in the Apollo room of the Louvre in Paris, and 8 of the 9 items taken remain unaccounted for. And these are priceless, priceless jewels.
Oh, yeah. Incredible works.
The thieves actually dropped or left behind one item, and that is the crown of Empress Eugenie, who was the wife of Napoleon III.
Mm.
You know those jewels have been, like, whittled down by now.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. If they did it right.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Again. Ocean's 8.
Yes. But at the same time, like, there's cameras everywhere. Everywhere. All over the city.
How long do you think they've been planning this? Is this something that started during the pandemic?
Oh. I don't know.
People had time on their hands.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah, but then you sat on it for that long?
Maybe they've been workshopping it.
Maybe.
Got someone on the inside.
Yeah. I mean, it was in and it was out. It was very thought through.
7 minutes.
That's crazy.
Robert.
Yes.
We have two shout outs. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. Last week, you and I mused about who we would see getting promoted from the core and the demi-soloist level.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we had no idea that at that very week, the Philadelphia Ballet was about to announce a promotion. So congratulations to Yuval Cohen, recently promoted to soloist at Philadelphia Ballet. He joined PB2, which is like the junior varsity of the ballet company,
mm-hmm.
in 2021-2022. He was promoted to apprentice for the next season, and most recently as a demi-soloist per the Evening of Horror printed program. So this is really, really recent news.
Really. And a little behind the scenes, his mother flew in from Israel to see the promotion.
Did he know it was coming?
I don't believe so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
So sweet.
Now, Robert, do you see what I have here?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
Philadelphia Business Journal, Women of Influence.
Flip it to page 36.
Oh.
It's also where the tab is. Who do we have there?
Our very own Shelley Power of Philadelphia Ballet. And actually, I had the chance to be there for it.
Were you there?
Yeah.
You were there?
Yep.
What?
I saw Shelley get her a very well-deserved award that evening from the Philadelphia Business Journal, along with an amazing array of powerful women of Philadelphia. There was an amazing panel discussion with three, one being the president of the Philadelphia Zoo, on what it took to get to where they are and what they're doing now to mentor other young women to get to the positions that they're in today. It was an incredibly moving evening celebrating some great Philadelphia citizens.
Shall we get onto the conversation?
Onto the conversation. Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Degerlin.
Hello, hello.
And today we have Dylan, a board member at the Mazzoni Center. And we're so happy to have you. So, Dylan, can you take us through your journey that brought you to your role as a board member of the Mazzoni Center, as well as what you're doing today in the life of Philadelphia?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I first moved to Philadelphia in 2021. So I actually have to kind of start before that in terms of like what brought me to Mazzoni. I started as a high school teacher in Boston, Massachusetts. And when I was a teacher, I founded and instructed an LGBTQ elective course at the high school that I taught at for 3 years. And that really anchored me. I'm an out gay man, and being an out gay teacher was really important to me. And what I saw was that space was really transformative for my students to be able to be themselves. While I was teaching, I was also volunteering for the Trevor Project, which is a suicide prevention and crisis intervention nonprofit for LGBTQ young people. So I say all that to say, when I came to Philly, I was looking for, like, where can I anchor myself and where will be the space to focus my time and energy on my LGBTQ community here in Philadelphia. And when I joined the school district of Philadelphia, my career is in education, the name that kept coming up was Mazzoni Center, right? People kept saying really positive things about Mazzoni Center. One of many things that the Mazzoni Center does is provide workshops for school district of Philadelphia schools free of charge. And I'll talk more about the other things that Mazzoni Center does later. But being in education, that was a name that constantly came up. They do workshops with schools, and they come into classrooms, and they do after-school programming. So I ended up reaching out to the Mazzoni Center and then became a board member in December of 2023. And I've been so grateful to be a part of this organization for the last couple of years.
That's incredible. So let's dive into Mazzoni Center. We know what the Mazzoni Center is, but for those listeners who are unaware, can you tell us more about it?
Absolutely. The Mazzoni Center has been the primary comprehensive LGBTQ health and wellness center in Philadelphia since 1979. So in 2005, we were renamed to be the Mazzoni Center, which it is known by today. We're named after the late Dr. Peter Mazzoni. He's one of our organization's founding board members. He's a physician that would take blood and transport blood samples to the hospital for testing when everywhere else refused to do so. And he ended up tragically passing away from AIDS at the age of 31. So we are proudly named after Dr. Mazzoni, and we have the same mission that we've had for the last 40 years, and that is we offer gender-affirming care, medical care, behavioral health, testing and prevention, food bank services, education services, and many other supportive services, importantly, in a safe, competent, and affirming environment. Every year, we serve over 15,000 patients and clients, and we have a staff of around 130 people that all share that mission.
Wow, that's incredible. We, Lucinda and I, were first introduced to the Mazzoni Center last year through your honors program, Mazzoni Center Honors, through a friend of the pod, Eli. Had an absolutely amazing time, an impactful time while we were there. And one of the things that stood out while we were in the room was hearing that no patient has to sit in a waiting room. Can you speak a little bit more to that?
Absolutely. One of the challenges that we're facing right now is that as more hospital systems continue to pull back from providing LGBTQ inclusive healthcare, we are seeing more and more people come to us for services. Mm-hmm. So I say that to say, like, at one point, we didn't have a waiting list. And currently, we are now looking at a waiting list. We have a couple of months when you look out for, like, new appointments, which mm-hmm. is pretty standard for most primary care practices. But a couple years ago, we were able to say, like, we don't have a waiting list at all. Wow. Right. And now we're at a point where because of the current conditions that we find ourselves within, we are seeing more and more patients reach out to us for services. So mm-hmm. we're constantly working on shortening that window, adding new providers, expanding appointment slots, and improving access so people can get the care that they need as soon as possible.
It seems every year that Mazzoni Center gets to ebb and flow with the need mm-hmm. as it presents itself in Philly, which is incredible. So one of the things that the Mazzoni Center does every year is run a major fundraiser to continue to offset some of the growing expenses that come with trying to run this center in the city of Philadelphia. Could you tell us a little bit about the Mazzoni Center Honors?
Definitely. I will say, so our chief development and communications officer, David Weisberg, if he was here, he would say, we start planning a year in advance.
Oh my God.
So it truly is a year-long process.
Yes.
I mean, David's already in conversation about our 2026 nominee,
wow.
right? And here we are, it's October 2025.
Yes.
And we're gearing up for the 2025 event. So I would just say, like, we start planning Mazzoni Center Honors the moment the curtains close at Mazzoni Center Honors yeah. for the following year. So it is a whole team effort. David is our fearless leader and executive producer. That's really the spearheading leader behind that. But the first step is always asking ourselves, like, who's the honoree going to be, right? That's really important. So the first year that we did it, we had Broadway legend Stephen Schwartz. And then last year we had legend George Takei from Star Trek for all of the fans out there. And this year we're really thrilled to have Melba Moore, and I'll talk more about Melba later. But from there, once we have our honoree, we think about, like, who else do we want to bring to the show? And then once we have our lineup, we have to start to think about sponsorships. To your point from earlier, we're currently in a position where all of the money that we can raise for this event and for our organization, right, the more people we're able to benefit in the city of Philadelphia. So for us, as exciting of an event it is to just be in a space and be around really amazing artists, it's also a big philanthropy moment for us. How much money can we raise to be able to increase life-saving support for LGBTQ people? So that's where the sponsorship components come in. And then, of course, there's hundreds of details that go into producing an event like this, right? I think it's one of the best nonprofit benefits in Philly. I also think it's just one of the most exciting shows in the city every year, period. I think it's really unique in that you're bringing together, right, dancers and performers, right? And so many different types of artists that have a common through line of they showed up to support an LGBTQ health and wellness organization. Mm-hmm. And I can't say enough about a queer man myself, right? Seeing people like Melba Moore, who are outspoken allies and activists, it's really an inspiring and hopeful is the word I would use night to be around people who are there for a common cause.
Yeah. And I think one of the most moving moments of the entire evening, you know, is the stories that are being shared throughout the event, but also the recognition of the staff that mm-hmm. are there every single day. It was so incredible to see them stand in the back of the theater last year and really take recognition of all their hard work that had happened throughout the entire year. It's an incredible moment.
Thank you for saying that.
You already kind of mentioned what goes into the curation of the Mazzoni Center Honors lineup, being that it's built around your honoree of the evening, but I cannot get over how stacked the guest and the presenter list is. You know, last year, friend of the pod, Eli, again, performed as part of the Ballet X ensemble, and for this year's program, 90s icon Savion Glover is going to be there, and he was the person who made me want to turn my back on ballet and try on a pair of tap shoes. Not that I ever did, but I just cannot get over how major the presenter and the performer list is.
Recently, the organization teamed up with Friends of the Pod, Philadelphia Chamber Music Society, in a free community concert. They've also partnered with the Arden Theater. How often do these partnerships come about, and are there any in the works?
Yeah, I love that question. I will say first, the partnerships are growing every year. Mm-hmm. So in 2025, to your point, we've had some really beautiful events recently. The Falsettos event, the Jason Robert Ground event at Rittenhouse Grill, the Unfolding Concert with the Philadelphia Chamber Music Society on October 11th. I will say the more organizations and just people, right, we're able to partner with in the city of Philadelphia, the more we see what often are just organic collaborations start to happen, right? They don't happen by chance.
Right.
There's an intention, both from our side of things at the Mazzoni Center, of course, and then all of the organizations we just named, to grow relationships. I would think about a lot of the organizations that are sponsors for this year, right? They share values with us. They share our belief that creating a more beautiful, inclusive Philadelphia is not just something, right, to fight for, but it's a non-negotiable. I think this is a city. When I think about Philly, what makes me proud to live here, right, it includes everyone. It includes all LGBTQ people from all walks of life, and it doesn't leave anyone behind.
Yeah.
So it includes, right, we think about the Arden, we think about Philadelphia Gay Men's Chorus, Transcendent Choir Philadelphia, St. Thomas Gospel Choir, William Way, of course, the Independence Business Alliance. These are all promotional partners for this year's event. And I think that's really powerful and a testament to how vibrant and interconnected the city can be.
It's absolutely amazing. So how can our listeners get involved into the Mazzoni Center?
I will start with kind of like four different pathways to be involved. So the first is, if you want to work with us, of course, that's the website that we would post job opportunities. The second is, if you would like to intern with us, if there's a listener to this podcast that's a second year social work psychology, counseling psychology student, you can do our behavioral health internship program. If you'd like to volunteer with us, you can sign up for what's called the Street Team. That is the name of our volunteer group, and they are kind of like the boots on the ground behind the volunteer work that the organization does. And then lastly, and certainly most importantly, is we are looking always 365 days a year for donations. We find ourselves in a position right now where any kind of donation matters, right? No matter how small, no matter how large. I'm excited to share, I'm the chair in my board position of what's called the Development Committee, and we have a marathon team this year for the Philadelphia Marathon. So if you're a listener to the podcast and you want to run, there's an 8K distance, a half marathon distance, and a full marathon distance. We have bibs available for all three distances. So you can raise money on behalf of the Mazzoni Center while running in Philadelphia Marathon Weekend. Philadelphia Marathon Weekend is November 21st, November 22nd, and November 23rd.
Those are incredible opportunities for anyone to get involved. And again, your involvement can be large, can be small. Any of that assistance is helping the Philadelphia community. The Mazzoni Center Honors this year are taking place again at the Kimmel Center. Can you share with everybody the date and time?
It is Monday, November 3rd, and it's 7:30 p.m., and tickets are live now.
Excellent. And they can be found?
If you go to mazzonicenter.org, there'll be a link right on our front landing page that will take people to the tickets.
Absolutely amazing. And so where can people find the Mazzoni Center both in real life and online?
Yeah, so in terms of real life, our largest location is at the intersection of Bainbridge and Broad. It's 1348 Bainbridge Street. And that's where you'll find our primary care, our behavioral health care, our food bank is located there, right? And then we have a secondary location called our Washington West location at 1201 Locust Street. In terms of online, we have mazzonicenter.org. That is where I talked earlier about the work with us, volunteer with us, donate. All of that information can be found on our website. We are on Instagram as well. We are on Facebook, so you can find us on the socials.
Excellent. Dylan, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your information about the Mazzoni Center Honors. I hope everyone gets a ticket and includes themselves in an amazing, worthwhile event. We're going to conclude with a couple rapid-fire questions for you.
Awesome.
So, cheesesteaks with Wiz or without?
Without.
Your favorite Philadelphia neighborhood?
South Philly. South Philly is south of Washington, not south of south.
Nice. Okay. I like it. It's clear. Your favorite beverage of the moment?
Black coffee. I'm currently in a PhD program.
Yep. So. Gotta stay awake.
Out of necessity. Yes.
Artists you're most looking forward to seeing during this year's Mozzoni Center Honors?
I'm going to say two. So, of course, Melba Moore. I spoke earlier around just like her allyship and activism for the LGBTQ community. 2024, my Spotify rap, my top five song was My Days by Joy Woods. So nice. From Notebook the Musical, Joy Woods would be my second answer. Dude, as well.
That's incredible.
Are you a Carrie, Miranda, Charlotte, or Samantha?
I'm so embarrassed to say I don't know what that means.
Yes! Yes!
Is this a Housewives question?
Oh, my God. Ouch. No.
This is a Sex and the City question. And so Lucinda has died inside. And probably so is this question.
Okay, take us out, Robert.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And check out the Mozzoni Center Honors. Grab your tickets today. Be a part of something greater for the city as a place that needs it the most right now as we continue to see changes in the healthcare industry.
Not only is Dylan a philanthropist, but he is also the first person that I took a Philadelphia Barrys class with.
I mean, that's pretty special.
That is still a philanthropy. Get that out in gear, girl.
Yes, sweat it out. Sweat it out.
You have a half marathon coming.
So we have a lot to get into over the next couple of weeks. It is art season.
We have some things for this weekend, and as always, a bunch of things for you to pencil into your calendar.
Ensemble Arts Broadway series, Kimberly Akimbo at the Academy of Music, runs until November 2nd.
And Ri Rousseau, A Painter's Secrets, recently opened at the Barnes and runs through February 22nd.
Friend of the pod, Dominique Sammarco, is hosting a plein air landscape workshop on October 25th from 3 to 6 p.m. for a very palatable $28. All direction and supplies are included.
The Ballet X's 20th anniversary gala is on October 28th.
But you don't have to go to the gala to enjoy Ballet X's 20th anniversary retrospective running from October 29th through November 9th.
Mozzoni Center Honors is on November 3rd, and I will be there just on my edge of the seat waiting for Savion Glover to come out tapping.
Friend of the pod, Carolyn Harper's exhibition, Prison Portrait Project, Faces of Despair, Hope, and Transformation, is opening on November 5th and will run through the 30th at Muse Gallery.
The next opening reception at Arthur Ross Gallery will be that of Basque photographer Fernando Postigo's photographs, opening on November 7th and running until January.
Young Friends of the Philadelphia Ballet Brunch at the Bar on November 9th from 11 to 1 p.m. Tickets are available now.
And then the last thing, get this on your radar, tickets for the traveling exhibition Dream World Surrealism at 100 are available. The exhibit does not open until November 8th, but it runs until February 16th, and the PMA is the only United States venue getting a stop.
And with that, Philly has heart.
And art.
Wait, I didn't know you were a Sex and the City fan. Let's run that back.
I mean, I'm wearing pearls with spikes on them. I'm really going goth here. To which my husband replied, you're ready to take Prince Charming straight to hell.
Nice.